The Franchise Geeks present Social Geek Radio. This episode today is brought to you by Social Joey and Franchise Dictionary Magazine. Hello, geeks. Today's guest is one of those guys in the middle of the Venn diagram where we spend a lot of our time here on Social Geek Radio, right in the middle of marketing and digital technology and the franchise industry. It's Justin Mink, Senior Vice President of Franchise Brands at Scorpion Internet Marketing. Justin, how are you?
Hey, Jack. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on your show. I'm really happy to be here. I'm excited to talk with you.
Well, thanks for joining us. And I know we've been kicking around some of the same marketing conference circuit for a while. So it's great to finally have you nailed down for an interview here. we want to talk about branding and marketing, and especially how it affects local marketing. But before we get into that, why don't you give us a little background on yourself? What's your story?
Yeah, sure. I've had a long sort of winding road through primarily a digital marketing career. Really got started back in the early aughts with usatoday.com as a marketer, and then transitioned from there into sales for one of the first big companies that really took on PPC, pay-per-click, in a real big way. It was called Reach Local.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it was a really fun ride. I was there for almost 7 years. Was there when the company went public and expanded globally. And that's where I really got my first experience in the franchise industry. We created a division as part of our enterprise group, working exclusively with franchise brands. And I ran that team for a few years. After about 7 years, I left that company. Actually, the former co-founder and president of that company, a guy by the name of Nathan Hanks, and I started up a startup technology company. This is for another podcast, but essentially we created this whole platform combining music and musicians with brands who want to tap into the audiences that artists have in a very authentic way.
Really?
Did that for a couple of years, raised a bunch of money, went off and worked for another startup doing big data and market research and analytics for, of all things, the legal cannabis industry. And then honestly, the franchise industry and digital marketing, kind of what I feel like is my home, came calling. You know, having done all these different things in technology and digital, I really realized that my passion lies with franchising. There's so much need for expertise and guidance at the brand and the local level as it relates to the fast-changing landscape of digital. And for me, working with the franchise organizations is incredibly gratifying because it's so real. And, you know, if you make a positive difference with a franchise brand, you're really impacting the lives of franchisees and their families. And that's meaningful to me and very gratifying. So bit of a long winding road, but really happy to be in the place I'm at now with Scorpion and franchise.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying about moving the needle. I've always found that in franchising myself that, you know, if we were working for customers such as Apple or Starbucks or Walmart, you and I could do some great stuff with their local marketing, and it would move the needle so slightly that no one would ever notice, and you really didn't make much of an impact.
But, right.
You know, if you're working with somebody that's got, you know, maybe 100 franchisees or maybe even 50, and you help them grow their brand on the national level and also on that local Main Street level, like you made a big difference in somebody's life.
It's really cool. And that's a great point you make. I mean, it really kind of is like having your cake and eating it too, where you're really helping at scale, in some cases a global, and in a lot of cases a national level with these, with some of the big franchise brands. I mean, there's a big enterprise and a big ship to steer, but it happens one local market at a time and really one family at a time in many cases. So it's gratifying in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about that. You've got these franchise brands that I guess we could say global, because most of the folks we're working with and you're working with are, if they're not already, you know, in Canada and going to Europe, they have eyes on that, right? So they've got a global brand, but at the same time, they've got a brand that is to the people in Dubuque, Iowa. that right. brand is local to Dubuque, Iowa, and they don't really care if there's other locations, you know, throughout the world, right? So how do you manage that between keeping it a great global brand and keeping it a great local business?
With a lot of great difficulty for a lot of brands. I think the brands that Scorpion works with tend to be grappling with that very challenge. And what I've seen over the space of now about a decade, having worked with franchise brands and helping them figure out how to best sort of map out their digital strategy and then execute it across every market, they're really, the brand itself and the value of the brand has kind of taken a backseat to lead generation. I think that started back when I first started with Reach Local in 2007. That was really when pay-per-click started to catch fire because of the fact that it was the first true ad channel or ad medium for a local business to track lead attribution and really wrap their brain around return on investment in a meaningful way, especially for those brands and services where, you know, they generate quote unquote leads. So somebody picks up the phone or fills out a form or uses an online scheduling software. It's really easy to tie engagement to acquisition. So that kind of changed the game. It was a huge disruption. And of course, local franchisees, when they invest their own money, are hyper-focused, as they should be, on lead generation. So, you know, franchisors who are supporting the franchisees and their revenue goals really got laser focused on supporting lead gen efforts, and the value of the brand, the importance of the brand really took a backseat, not only for the franchisees, but even the franchisor who really should understand that when the brand is powerful and well known, that actually does help with local lead gen efforts. It gives you a competitive edge.
Yeah.
But sort of everybody kind of forgot about the brand and how important it is and how valuable it is and what it requires to build a strong brand with a lot of equity. So it's just been this interesting pendulum swing over the last decade from what used to be a lot of brand building to almost exclusively lead gen today.
Yeah, I guess you guys probably talk with customers about the customer journey as much as we do. And what scares me a little bit about the entire focus on generating leads right now is the number of touches it takes, and you know, this number varies greatly, right? But without having a great brand out in front of it, all of those touches might be meaningless.
That's 100% right. So here's an interesting sort of dynamic that we see online. You know, a lot of our clients say whenever we try to put some kind of nationally funded brand program in place, so if we're using ad fund dollars or the national marketing fund, however they term it, that the franchisees are obligated via their FDD to commit a percentage of revenue to, whenever we say we want to use this for some national brand program, franchisees say, well, that, how does that help me? How does that help?
My dollars.
Right. Right. When I spend money with you, that I want to see a direct impact on my business. So they're having a hard time connecting those dots. And what we see in a way that actually helps us tell a pretty powerful, clear story to franchisees and franchisors alike is that when you implement branded programs designed to generate visibility and awareness of the brand within a market, not necessarily designed to, you know, drive discrete direct response from a lead gen standpoint, you start to see really interesting correlations happen. So for a very simple example, a Facebook campaign with promoted posts, all of a sudden you start to see a correlation with the number of searches for the name of the brand on Google. So just driving that visibility and awareness translates to when someone is in the mode of having the time and discretion to look for you, or they're in that shopping mode, they're further down the funnel, they're going to look for you more. And also if they're just doing a more generic search, so not for your company's or brand's name in particular, the click-through rate starts to go up on your brand because ding, 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 the bell goes off that they've seen you before.
Yeah.
So being able to tie those things together in a way that tells a clear story is a good way to sort of convince your franchisees of the wisdom of investing in brand programs.
And is that really part of your biggest challenge, or maybe some of your clients' biggest challenge, is making sure the franchisees understand that correlation between the brand and what's going to drive people in their front door? Is that part of the biggest challenge every day for you?
That's a good question. It's part of, I would say it's part of it, but probably not what's probably on the forefront of our clients' minds when they're talking about their challenges. I think for a lot of franchise organizations who have been so hyper-focused throughout their growth on how can we just give our franchisees a tool set and systems to help them drive leads, they, as they grow and scale, they end up looking back at some point saying, whoa, we've got like a Frankenstein environment. And we don't have any control, and we just stumble upon things out there that are unapproved and are really wonky from a customer experience perspective. And what ends up happening is that not only is the brand not being supported in terms of building the value of the brand, but it's actually detracting from the brand. Because if you put your customer hat on, if you're online and you see all these different websites and different messaging and logos in some case and color palettes, and none of it fits, but it's all ostensibly under the same brand name, it feels like amateur hour, and it actually detracts from someone wanting to engage a franchisee.
Yeah, it gets confusing, and the last thing you want to do for any consumer is confuse them. And right. And I think it further hurts the brand, or at least the marketing team, because think of the amount of time and resources they're putting into fixing problems out in, you know, whatever city, USA, when they could be using that time and resource to kind of push the whole brand forward, or maybe come up with the next big idea, or spend a little bit more money on some other type of advertising, and not going back and, you know, changing a bunch of logos that somebody used that were 25 years old or something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, they're almost to a person or to a brand, they're all in. Any franchise that finds themselves in this position is struggling with always being reactive. Yeah, they're just putting out fires. And, you know, I hear it all the time. You know, my team comes to work every day and we've got these grand plans and strategic initiatives that we wish we could work on. We're busy all day. We're on the phone all day. And then we go home at night and don't have any idea what it is we did that day.
Yeah.
Because it's just putting out lots of fires, putting Band-Aids on lots of things, and never really having the luxury of being proactive about thinking about, you know, working on the brand, not in the brand. So good, great point.
And I think it might sound a little simplistic to say that if we started off on the right foot and kept the marketing consistent and have everybody, you know, with the program and adding to the program like a franchise system should, we wouldn't run into these problems. So is there a good way to, you know, especially as you're working with growing brands, you know, maybe they were at the emerging stage and now they're getting bigger. Is there a good way to put a program like that in place ahead of all of the fires?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is. You know, I think a brand really needs to be, even in the earliest stages, you know, the leadership of a franchise has to be thinking about where they want to be and where they see themselves in the next, I'd say, 5 years. I'd say a decade is probably too long, at least as it relates to digital marketing, because, you know, who knows what's going to be happening in 10 years. Even 5 years is tough to predict.
Yeah.
But you've got to be thinking about it and putting in place the systems and tools immediately, but right from day one, that will scale with you and will power that growth. And a lot of that is based on technology, you know, having platforms to consolidate data, to distill insights from data, to plug in lots of different data points from across a whole lot of different fires that you have your irons in, and pull them all in so that you can make sense of it all and have a line of sight, transparency into all that data, and control over things that are happening at every level of the enterprise, whether it's at the national or the local level. So, you know, a lot of that has to do with just standing up the right technology infrastructure from day one and really providing, establishing systems that you can consistently deploy and hold everyone accountable to as you grow.
Yeah. Imagine 5 years from now, or even 2 years from now, the customers of yours that would say, you know, wow, I wish we would have implemented this back in 2018. My life would be so much better, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, I think it's almost like it's just the nature of the beast for a lot of organizations where they don't think about these things as in advance holistically. And as they grow, they just kind of plug in different kind of patchwork solutions. And then at some point they look back and say, wow, this is all kind of like Frankenstein.
Yeah.
You know, we put this together with chewing gum and duct tape. And now we've got to spend all our time and energy trying to figure it all out, how to have everything talk to each other and work in harmony. So it's a bit of the nature of the beast. And I think a franchise leadership has to be really intentional. It's easier said than done, but has to really devote time to think about the things that you're implementing today and where are they going to sit in 5 years? And do they have a place in 5 years?
Yeah. So not even 5 years. Let's look out over the next, 18 months, or maybe even just the remainder of 2018. Are there any industry trends, either in digital marketing or in franchising, that are there trends that you're watching, that you're advising your customers that they need to be watching as well? Are there any, you know, any big game changers coming our way?
Yeah, I think there are. So one of the things that we've seen, I'd say probably the most remarkable, and the one that anyone here who's listening, who's involved with the franchise at any level from a marketing perspective should be aware of, is what's happening from a digital media perspective. I mean, there's a lot of things changing. You know better than anyone what's happening on the social landscape and how that continues to evolve. But from a digital media perspective, where a lot of your franchisees invest their money, their own skin in the game to drive performance, what we've seen over the last probably 18 to 24 months across, you know, Scorpion's got about 10,000 clients, not just in franchise, obviously, but across multiple business categories, mm-hmm. law firms and attorneys and physicians and hospitals and lots of local businesses, home services. The efficacy of paid search, of PPC, is starting to decline. Because if you think about the dynamics behind paid search, probably, I would say several years ago, maybe 3 to 5 years ago, really the tipping point tipped, where Google and just search in general, but primarily Google, became sort of the go-to for your average person in this country to look for anything that they're in the market for, whether it's a product, a service, place to eat, you know, place to buy shoes, what have you. So consumers have been on Google en masse for like 5 years or more. Local businesses and franchise brands have been slower to follow. And that's pretty normal, right? It's always the consumers and the eyeballs get there first, and then the money follows after in terms of advertising.
Yep.
So the amount of inventory available, because every time someone does a search that you want to compete for, that's a piece of inventory. That inventory is increasing at a slower rate than the number of dollars and the number of businesses competing for that inventory. So it's a purely market-driven medium. It's totally supply and demand-driven. So tighter inventory and more competition for that inventory results in an upward pressure on pricing. So what you're finding is that just across the board, it's costing more money to compete for the same kind of lead quality and volume. And a lot of agencies out there who do digital media are just basically dumping their clients' money into more PPC, more pay-per-click, because they don't really have technology that allows them to buy other types of media at scale. So what we're finding is that there is a lot of performance to be squeezed out of other digital advertising channels. And there are so many out there today where competitors are not flocking because they just don't know how to buy, or their agencies don't know how to buy there yet effectively. And that runs the gamut across social and geofencing and retargeting and Gmail marketing. And, you know, the list goes on and on and on. Thinking about how to diversify your ad strategy and look at it holistically so that you understand, for example, when you do a retargeting campaign, how that impacts all the other spend that you're out there engaging in digitally. Again, easier said than done, but if you can do so effectively right now, you're gonna provide a competitive edge for your brand and your franchisees.
And I think also to add to that, be real agile and be ready to move off of that new thing you just found that's working for your customer. Be ready to jump off of that a year from now as soon as it starts declining in value and jumping onto the next thing. I think that's where guys like you really, really bring value is, you know, just to be far enough ahead of the wave that you can keep it cost effective and be looking for the next wave, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, if you're in the industry that you and I play in, anybody else in digital marketing, if you're not thinking about what's next and how to leverage it to provide value for your clients, then you're dead in the water as a business.
I mean, you're already behind. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This whole industry is predicated upon the pace of change, and it only becomes more rapid with time. So yeah, if you're a digital marketer and you're not thinking about what's next, and how to make it meaningful in your business and for your clients, you're like you said, you're already behind the game.
And speaking of what's next, we've got just a couple of minutes left. So tell us what's new at Scorpion. Any big projects? Any big things you guys are working on?
There always are. You know, we're getting into voice search and how to help our clients wrap their arms around the next great wave of search, which is hey Alexa, you know, what's a great place to eat? Thai food with good reviews tonight near my hotel, or a massage. You know, that's coming for sure. There's so many, you know, a hot category in franchising right now, as you know, is kind of membership based businesses, recurring revenue models. So boutique fitness and education, childcare, and, you know, swim schools and things like that. So, you know, retention is just as, if not more important than acquisition. So Scorpion's building products to help kind of fully manage the customer lifecycle, marketing automation and CRM. And our clients are asking for us to connect those dots and really manage the full customer journey. So we're working on some products there that there'll be some big announcements at the next IFA about what we're launching.
Awesome. We look forward to that. And speaking of IFA and upcoming events, I did want to get in a couple of quick mentions here. The Franchise Leadership and Development Conference is happening in Atlanta, October 9th, 10th, and 11th. For more information and registration there, and you'll be able to see Justin's team and my team there as well. Check it out at franchiseupdatemedia.com. And also, the big one I'm looking forward to, the 2018 Franchise Marketing Innovation Technology Conference, happening October 17th through the 19th in Austin, Texas. We've got some great keynotes lined up, including Nick Westergaard, and we've got speakers from really cool brands, including some companies that you may have heard of called Facebook and Amazon and IBM. And we've got some great franchise brands speaking as well, including TGI Fridays and IHOP and many more. So to register for that event, MITCON, as we like to call it, you can check that out at franchise.org. I should also mention that today's episode of Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Franchise Dictionary Magazine. The October issue is out now, focusing on healthcare and senior care franchises. You can check that out at franchisedictionarymagazine.com. All right, Justin, in the minute we have left, if our listeners have some additional questions for you that we didn't quite get to today, or they want to connect with you, what's the best place where they can find you?
Sure. Yeah. Always can look me up on LinkedIn. Just type in my name, Justin Mink. And if I don't show immediately, combine it with Scorpion and you'll find me. You always email me as well. It's a really easy address. It's justin.mink, first.lastname@scorpion.co. No M, just .co.
So Justin.co. Yeah, love it. Awesome. Yep. Great. Justin, thanks so much for joining Social Geek Radio today. And we look forward to seeing you at some of these events in the near future and chatting with you again soon.
Thanks so much, Jack. It was great to be on your show. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you and good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2018 Social Geek Radio.